And here to talk Cavs basketball with us, back on the show for the first time in a while, Rick Noland with the Medina Gazette. Rick, thank you so much for the time, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's hard to believe that for four straight years we would have just finished talking NBA Finals.
Yeah, and here we are today getting ready for the NBA draft. And, well, one of the reasons why the Cavaliers were just about wrapping up this time of the year the last 4 years is because of LeBron James, and he is now being teamed up with Anthony Davis at long last. A trade finally went down, although I guess it's not official for a couple more weeks just yet. But how do you think that particular trade will affect the Cavs, if at all, this coming Thursday?
In a big way. I actually just finished writing a fairly lengthy story on exactly that. That number four pick that originally belonged to the Lakers now belongs to the Pelicans. And it was fairly widely accepted that had the Lakers had that pick, they would have taken Darius Garland out of Vanderbilt, which would have given the Cavs their choice between DeAndre Hunter, and Jarrett Culver out of Texas Tech. Now I really think that the Pelicans, with that pick at number four, are going to take one of those two players. I can't see them taking a guard type when they just got Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram in that deal. So I think they're gonna go for one of those two, and I think there's a lot of things that could play out Thursday, but I think the most likely scenario is whichever one that New Orleans doesn't take between DeAndre Hunter from Virginia and Jarrett Culver from Texas Tech. I think that's the odds-on pick of who the Cavs take at five, whichever one is left between those two.
Do you have a personal favorite between those two? I mean, they both offer a little something different.
A little something, and also some weaknesses. I'm not super high on either one. I don't want to be the Cavs killjoy, but this is a pretty mediocre draft, and it drops off drastically after the top three picks. Hunter's kind of an NBA ready guy. He's solid in a lot of different areas, but awe-inspiring in none, really. I think he's a guy who can help right away. I think he might be more suited to a more established team that's ready to win at a decent level right away, and the Cavs aren't that team. Culver improved greatly offensively last year. He got his average up to 18.5 points, and he was a great defender on arguably the best defensive team in college basketball at Tech, but his three-point percentage went from 38% as a freshman to 30% as a sophomore, and that's with the college line. And excuse me, in today's NBA world, that's a big concern on such a three-point heavy league. So I wouldn't be shocked, Andy, if they excuse me. If the Cavs ultimately trade down a little bit, the Hawks have 8, 10, and 17. They might be willing to move one of those picks. They are said to like Culver a lot. So maybe Cleveland moves to 8, possibly even 10, but I think 8's more likely. Picks up a few other assets along the way. And maybe takes a guy like Cam Reddish from Duke, who had, quite honestly, a really disappointing and not very good freshman season for as ballyhooed as he was, but who at 6'8", 210, still has a lot of really good NBA qualities and could turn out to be one of those guys who's better at a higher level of play than he was in college.
Yeah, I mean, he just kind of got lost in the mix at Duke, but, you know, that's a name that's continued to pop up. And I hate to use his name as a wild card because he's a guy that's getting a little bit more attention as we get closer and closer to the draft itself. But you're right, if they trade down, that could certainly be a guy you could see them pulling the trigger on. To go back to that fourth pick, you mentioned the Darius Garland, the guard from Vanderbilt who missed, well, not all of the season, but he missed, let's just say,
all
close to
five games. You know, yeah, he played five games.
Yeah, he played five games. Is that a guy that Cavs could target? Could you see them going the Garland or maybe a Coby White route if they want to go with a guard?
Well, here's the thing. I actually touched on this, too, in my story. Coby White, I think, is a much stronger possibility because he's 6'5", and you pair him with Colin Sexton. At times one's the point guard, at times the other is, but at least you have a guy in Coby White who could defend bigger opposing shooting guards. As good as some people think Darius Garland is going to be, I find it really hard to picture the Cavs playing a backcourt that goes 6'2 and 6'3 in today's NBA world. I think they get exposed quite a bit defensively in that area. So Coby White is another guy I didn't mention who I think he could possibly be in play at 5. If they're not sold on whoever slips between Culver and Hunter, they could go that route. I think right now it's and heck, Andy, if they think Darius Garland is the best player that's available to them, they could take him and figure it out later. Right now, you're hoping for a starting level player who might someday turn into an all-star. If you get more than that, then you're thanking your lucky stars in this draft, I think. And they'll be those guys. It's just impossible to tell right now from 4 to 14, who that guy is going to be. They could end up somebody going 12 in this pick could be the third or fourth best player in this draft. So, like I said before, I don't want to rain on Cavs fans' parade, but it's going to be hard to make a significant jump to bottom level playoff contender with what you're going to land with two picks in this draft, unless you get really lucky or are really good at it, and unless you are capable of somehow adding another asset somehow along the way as part of J.R. Smith's contract or a way I don't yet foresee.
And that leads me to my next question here. I mean, how high do you think the likelihood of a trade is simply because you don't know if they're hanging on to that 26th pick and they've got until June 30th, I believe, to unload J.R. to somebody else before the extra money kicks in. So how likely do you think a trade is for the Cavaliers in some form or fashion on Thursday?
Well, I think it's possible. I think in addition to Atlanta, I think the Celtics have at least two picks. They might have three in this draft, I think two. But, as presently constituted, they're going to have a hard time finding two guys who are going to fit in their rotation. So they might be willing to move one of those. JR is more likely to bring you a salary that's, for more years than his has remaining from a team that's looking to make a salary cap dump and just going to take him on and cut him and pay the 3.7 he's guaranteed to rid themselves of $15 million of cap space. You could find a player that way, and I think they're hopeful they can. I think a lot of the trades in this draft are going to be contingent upon is there one or two or three teams in that 9 to 16 range that really wants to move up to 4, 5, 6? Or are there teams that simply don't want their picks and would rather not have to pay a guaranteed contract for 3 years, even though it's not that much? So, if it's a trade, it's more than likely going to be with a pick thrown in for a more established current NBA player than it is with the specific mindset of getting a particular player in this draft, because there's a good chance there's no franchise players in this draft outside of Zion. I think John Morant and R.J. Barrett are going to be extremely good and could become that, but after that, it's just really hard to get overly excited about any of these kids, most of whom are 19 or 20 years old.
Rick Nolan with the Medina Gazette joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, getting into this Thursday's NBA draft. And boy, Rick, it's weird. This time of the year, it just feels so much different than it did last year. Last year, there was a lot of excitement because the Cavs had a top 10 pick, but at the time, we weren't 100% sure if LeBron was staying or if he was leaving.
Right.
What kind of sense do you get from the fan base this year leading up to this Thursday's draft? It just kind of feels like there's only a little bit of excitement around it. It just kind of feels like the excitement that was there was kind of sucked out of it when we all found out they were picking fifth.
I made this comment to somebody the other night. I don't know about you, but it sure seems like a lot longer than a year ago that the Cavs were in the NBA championship. It seems like it's been 3 or 4 years since 2018, even though it was a sweep, even though it even happened. There is a certain percentage of sports fans, especially in Cleveland, who live for drafts, regardless of the sport, particularly with our football team. But I think even the intelligent draft nicks are of the mind not to get too optimistic about anyone in this draft. Colin Sexton had a pretty good rookie season, at least statistically, minus of the fact he often was on the floor in the closing minutes of fourth quarters where they were behind by 25 points and scored 6 more points in that time. And barely averaged 3 assists. But that aside, he was still a functional NBA player, and they went 19-63. So this is a superstar-driven league. And, if you don't have one or, in these days, oftentimes 2 or 3 of those types of superstar players, you're going to have a hard time going anywhere. And I'd argue right now, as much as I like Kevin Love's all-around game, that Cavs really, if we're totally honest with ourselves, don't have any upper echelon superstars.
Along those same lines, could you see them possibly shopping Kevin Love before Thursday? There are rumors all over the place, but if the money were to match up, could you see a scenario where that might work for the Cavs and they might deal him before Thursday or on Thursday?
I don't think so. I mean, if they deal him, they've dealt their best player, injury-prone or not. And quite honestly, how many teams out there really want to take on Kevin Love at 4 years and $120 million? I think, the teams that already have cap space are looking for a player better than Kevin Love, and the teams that clear cap space would be doing it to more rebuild this year and not win games and make a splash, in free agency in the future. I don't really see it happening. I would never rule it out, but I don't know. I just at $30 million for Kevin Love, knowing he's probably going to miss 25 games in a good season. I just don't think he's really all that marketable to the majority of teams in this league. On the flip side, it only takes one. So it's always possible, but I don't really see it happen.
And to your point, he's no spring chicken either. He's now into his early 30s too, so you'd like to think that the injury bug is only going to get worse for him, but I guess time will tell there. And, looking at the way this roster is currently constructed, I think it makes it so tough to project what they might do simply because they have so many needs. And, they do have some expiring contracts as well. Tristan Thompson was the Iron Man for so long, but that's another guy. You got to think that the Cavaliers are going to at least try and dangle because he can be a good role player for somebody next year. And I think the chances aren't very good the Cavs are going to re-sign him after next season. But what's the going market what's the trade value for a guy like that?
Yeah, exactly. I think Tristan's right around $16 million, which in this day and age is high for a player of his caliber, but it's not you know, exorbitantly high. There's tons of guys in this league who aren't overly productive that have deals in that range. Now, I think more than anything, this whole cap season is going to be about moves they make or don't make during the course of the season. They have a big chunk of contracts that can or will expire at the end of the 19-20 season. You know, you got a guy like Jordan Clarkson who's already on the books for $13 million. Is he really that much a part of your team, or would you like to just let that go and let Tristan's contract go and free up $29 million, get yourself as far under the cap as possible, and hope and pray that you can land, you know, you can lure a significant star player to come to Cleveland, but we all know that's not easy. He would be joining a team whose best player would be Kevin Love, in what, you know, whether you agree or disagree with Cleveland as a city, the fact of the matter is the people outside of Cleveland, you know, it's not a landing spot destination-wise. So Kobe Altman and company, you know, they've got their work cut out for them. I don't know that there's any right way or wrong way or any way that's guaranteed of being successful to work. I mean, this team, Andy, it's got a long way to go to get to mediocre. And you and I both know that mediocre is sometimes the worst place to be in the NBA. So, you know, they made four straight finals with LeBron, five with LeBron overall. They have not made another finals in 44 years of existence without LeBron James in uniform. So, you know, I think best case scenario, they just put out a hardworking, competitive team that plays hard every night and is fun to watch, improves incrementally, however long it takes, however, you know, stuck in the middle they may get at some point. But, you know, that light is at the end of the tunnel, but who knows, you know, how long that tunnel could be. It's just hard. I mean, you look how the NBA is dominated so long by so few teams. And Cleveland was extremely fortunate, and we should know. We probably know now more than ever how grateful we should be or should have been for the past four seasons with LeBron, because it doesn't happen often anywhere in the NBA, and it, you know, it happens even less frequently in, you know, Midwest towns that aren't able to lure players like a Miami or a New York or I'll throw Chicago into that mix just because of the size of the city, although they haven't been able to get anybody to play there for a while. It's just going to be hard. It's going to be really, really hard. And the margin for error is very, 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 very low. They've got to hit on everything, almost everything, make a ton of savvy moves, and really hope for the best. And hopefully one of these, you know, these draft picks turns into something I don't think they're going to become, and they get going in a positive direction. It's just tough to see happening anytime real soon.
Well, and that's what makes Thursday all the more important, no question about it. Rick, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for stopping by and joining us, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good.